No, absolutely not. I'm thankful though that we have these videos because I'm as the Bible tells us, the wise and the old and the ones with wisdom are supposed to teach the ones that are young and coming up. So I'm extremely encouraged to have not only Jabe as a video, but you know, all the people around me that I have in my life that are more wise and more capable of teaching and understanding and discerning to go over these things with us. So we should count it a privilege that we can have these videos and to understand words that, like these four words that, for whatever reason, when we read them in our Bibles, like take our breath away and kind of scare us. It's extremely cool to have that. So I'm going to be speaking on something a lot more hopefully relatable and hopefully a lot more practical, and it's going to be super simple, and it's really just going to be encouragement. And I hope that everybody leaves today with the understanding of exactly what I'm talking about, and they can just apply it to their life and through the week that they would look at this simple topic of having a deeper and deeper relationship with Christ Jesus. I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we are extremely privileged to gather in your presence, Lord, not only as in this building, Father, but as a church and as a body, Lord. We pray that as there is sheep among wolves among sheep, Father, that we would pray for the elders and personal discernment that we would not fall victim to false prophecy. And Lord, I would ask that as we go into this meeting, that you would just take my words away and replace them with yours, Father. As your scriptures say, less of me and more of Jesus. Please, Lord, as we go into this meeting, we pray that hearts will be softened and that you'd speak directly into them, Father. Amen. Okay. I'm going to begin with a story in 2 Kings in chapter 25, if you want to turn with me and mark it in your Bible. This chapter is, the first time I read it was this year, and I've come back to it over and over again. It displays what a real relationship looks like. I'm going to be comparing the difference between our faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ and what religion looks like and how sometimes we can balance on that line. In 2 Kings 25, it's in the very last section of 2 Kings. For context, it's when all of Israel has been taken into exile and imprisoned, and Babylon has taken over everything. And in this last chapter of 2 Kings, there's this tiny glimpse of hope in Jehoiakim, a king. And I'm just going to read, starting in verse 27. It says, "And in the 37th year of exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in that year he began to reign. He graciously freed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison, and he spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seat of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put off his prison garments, and every day of his life he dined regularly at the king's table. And for his allowance, a regular allowance was given by the king, according to his daily needs, as long as he lived." So if you can't already see that, I'm going to draw this extremely relatable comparison between what we have a king, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, and Jehoiakim, and this comparison of God and us, and in that gracious freedom that we have, that what freedom looks like is not releasing, we don't see him released back into Israel, but he actually frees him out of these chains. He puts off his old garments, and every day he uses him, and they have fellowship, and they get together, and he dines every day at the king's table. And that is so what we've been reading. When we go through Romans, we go through Romans 6, and Leonard tackled, it seemed like, a few times, and where it talks about slaves of righteousness is what we're not called to. When we're set free of our slavery to lawlessness, those chains are broken and they're gone, but now we are brought into this new slavery of righteousness, and every day we dine at the king's table. So I'm going to be talking about that, and I'm going to also be talking about how you look at this, and this is a picture of our faith, and it's so much of a relationship. And I think, personally, and I want to say this before I go into any more depth of this, is that I'm speaking completely out of personal struggles with this and daily and weekly struggling with this. I'm not speaking on this from the other side of it. I struggle with this and making our faith and Christ Jesus a practice of religious things and doing it and just to do it sometimes. And I'm not speaking from this side of it. I'm speaking in it, and I imagine that some people struggle with this too, but I just wanted to clarify that before I got any deeper into it. But we'll pick up just in the way that one way that we can stray from this personal relationship is by making it a religion. And really, when we think of religion, we think of practice, and we think of doing things just to do them and checking boxes almost. I was talking with a brother about checking boxes, and I'm going to ask you guys to just examine your hearts this morning or this evening. I want you guys to think about where you are with this. And even if you feel like you're at a very good spot, the Bible calls you to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, lest you make sure that you are in the faith and where you stand in that faith, where your heart is, and just your motives. Why are you doing these things? You need to ask yourself the question of, you do things, why are you doing it? For example, I can be up here and I can speak, but it can be out of an ambition that isn't completely driven towards glorifying God. And that's not right, and God doesn't get glory, and I have received all of my glory right here in what I've taken. So the question that I want to ask you guys is why are you doing things? And you can examine your heart of why you do things. The thought that I've had for the last couple months is every Sunday morning when your alarm goes off, whatever tone it is, mine's an extremely loud and annoying tone because I need to hear it, but when that goes off, when you hear that sound, you're sleeping and then you're awake and you hear a sound and it continues to go. And every Sunday morning you hear that sound, you look at your alarm, you turn it off, you get up, you shower, you get dressed in nicer clothes than usual, you get in your car and you come to a different building than every other day of the week. And the question is, why do you do that every week? Is it because every week you do that and simply that is it? You go to that church and you get dressed in those clothes and that's why? Or is it because that morning, on Saturday night, you set your alarm because you knew the next morning, Sunday morning, it was going to be a gathering of believers. And the emblems of Christ, the body and the blood, were going to be put on a table, and believers were going to gather, and they were going to give as much praise as they could to Christ Jesus and his death and his resurrection and his victory. And that you just could not stand to miss that meeting. So you set your alarm, and you got up, and you got dressed, and you showered in the same clothes, and you drove in the same amount of time, and you got there in the same amount of time. It looks all the same from the outside, but on the inside is where it counts, is what I'm trying to say, is why are you doing things? I'm super encouraged, because this morning, before the breaking of bread meeting, there was a young gathering of young men, and I could just tell, like, I got here and I could just tell I was so encouraged that there was people, and I walked in and we get along really well, you know, our group, we have a lot of funny jokes, we get along super well, we could talk for hours and hours and hours. But when we walked into the chapel this morning, we walked in and I looked at everybody and it was serious. Everybody was ready because everybody had set their alarm an hour and a half earlier, and they wanted to be serious, and they wanted to be ready for when they got to take of the body and the cup, and they wanted to be in the right mindset to have fellowship with Christ Jesus. The Bible says if, you know, two or three are gathered, he is here, and we knew that. You know, we wanted to be ready for Christ Jesus to be here and to give him praise this morning. And this example goes to an extreme and to a very, very simple example. I do it weekly. I get home from work, and I'm extremely tired some days and worn out, and I go to this right here, this book, and every day I want to read from this. And there are some days that I come home, and truly I dine at the King's table every day, and I sit down and I say, God, please show me something. And he's so faithful to take your heart and show you something. But there's other days where I get home and I'm tired, and I check the box of taking out my Bible that day and reading that chapter just to give myself almost the peace and the reassurance that I did that for the day. And that's what common practice is. And in religion is they go to church to give themselves the peace that they did that today, and they're checking their boxes. And if you will turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We see a different, there's more extreme examples in this. So this is just talking of the way of love and doing things out of the love of your heart. And it says, if I speak, and this is just at the very start, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, if I give all I have away, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The Bible, the Word of God, is telling us that we could be martyrs, we could give up our body, and we could be killed. And if our heart is not in the right place, we gain nothing. So just check your heart. You know, look at your motives. What the driving thing is behind what you're doing. And I would really challenge you to do that this week. And I was doing it along with writing this message. I was trying not to be a hypocrite. I did the same thing, and it just, as much as I feel like I can be in a right place, there's so much deeper to go, and the reason that I'm doing things can be more extended to the love of Jesus. And the best way, I think, to change our motives to being more pure is to pursue that personal relationship. When we go back to 2 Kings and we read, and it says that we can dine every day at the king's table, and we can come, and we were graciously freed. We put off our old garments, that old life. It says in Romans 6 that old man was crucified at the cross, and it's dead. It's done away with. We come in our new garments and our new life. We sit down at the king's table daily with our heart in the right place and of our motive to grow and to love and praise Christ, and we will grow. He's so faithful to show you and learn you and teach you everything. And another thing that I've found extremely helpful for this is fall in love with Jesus again. Like, fall in love with him. We say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We need to love God. If I have love, I have nothing. But fall in love with the person of Jesus Christ. For so many years, I loved, you know, salvation, and I loved the thought of never going to hell. You know, I like hanging out with these guys. I think that chapel hockey's really fun. But, like, do I love the person? Did I fall in love with the person of Christ Jesus? Francis Chan prompted the question, and it's a challenging one, and take it serious. It's that if you could have heaven with all your family and all your friends and all the food that you've ever enjoyed, all the sports, leisures, just activities that you've enjoyed to the fullest, and have it in heaven with no sickness, no death, but Christ Jesus wasn't there, could you be happy? And it's a question that I have to be honest. For so many years of my life, I would have to honestly be like, yes, I that sounds like what I want. But I can honestly say that in the last while, I fell in love with Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. I look to the cross, and I say, God, show me more of that. And I look at his crucifixion, I look at the nails being driven in his hand for me and his love, and I fall in love with him, and I would not be happy in heaven if I could not meet Christ Jesus. That's all I have for you guys tonight.